And you might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 14. Mark and chapter 14. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word, thy grace, and your presence. Thank you very much. Help us. And our God will thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, which we're doing, and we're in chapter 18. Chapter 18 is the exiting from the upper room to the garden, to the trials, to the crucifixion. And all of that is there, and John sees it and writes it as the last living apostle near 195 AD. And he gives us the wonderful, wonderful summation of all of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and all of the New Testament, that Jesus Christ has sufficiently died on the cross, efficiently and sufficiently, to save us to the uttermost, and that he's God. Now, so as we share together, Judas went out, and when they're going out, God is demonstrating for us in record, in writing, he's demonstrating for us that the disciples who have sat through chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth. But all of that truth, as awesome as it is, requires God to make it work. Without God, the things of God, the truth of God, is no good. It doesn't go anywhere. That's why Judas, mentioned chapter 18, Judas goes and betrays him. And he betrays him because he understood he was looking for the Lord, looking to be in the inn of something, to be in the beginning of something, to have the great advantage. He was the treasurer, etc. And he would have wonderful, wonderful advantage if he stayed. God would become a king or a competitive power to Rome and to Herod, and he'd have a wonderful position. But he didn't understand that God wasn't trying to save this world or anything in it. He condemned it. And Judas woke up to the fact that it was a losing cause, what he was after. Peter comes along, our next record in chapter 18, and Peter comes along. And Peter's different than Judas. He's a believing believer, as it were, because Judas was not. But Peter comes along, and Peter is going to recognize his awesome, remember back a little bit ahead of that, Peter went at the arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he went forward, step forward in front of at least potentially 600 Roman soldiers and the temple guard and police and everyone else. And he stepped forward in front of them. And here's our Lord standing there. He comes forward to the servant of the high priest and swings his little knife in his pocket, pulls it out and swings it at the servant as he came close to the Lord. And cut off his ear. He didn't mean to cut off his ear. He meant to kill him. But he didn't. It was a failure. It's a very public failure. He publicly failed. He stepped forward in front of the disciples and all of those men. It was an awesome failure. And the Lord, of course, took care of it, and as we shared together, in a most wonderful way. So having said that, here's Peter. And Peter is a very bold, strong, person, personality and all of that. And he was committed. He continued to be committed. So, to give us that, chapter 14, in verse 30. And Jesus said unto him, I'm going to read verse 29 for a little better context. 14:29. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet I will not be. I will not. Yet will I not. Yet will not I. It has to come out, but all of it's the same thing. Different ways of saying it. Okay. Verse 30. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto you, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crows twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, Peter did, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all said the same thing. And now they're going in verse 32, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, the garden, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. So here's all the disciples, Peter leading them. We're going to be committed all the way, and Peter's going to demonstrate that commitment, human commitment to God, to a commitment to what anything, but a commitment to the good and high and holy things, a commitment to God. He had it. He was willing to go all the way. He didn't understand. Judas didn't understand. And Peter didn't understand. He didn't understand about himself, his humanness. So the lesson, and he said in verse 31, I will not deny thee. I will not disown thee. I will not say no to thee. So he's there. That's a wonderful, wonderful human commitment, as understandably it takes place in time in our history, human history. Now, having said that little bit, that in mind, and God has said, you're not going to do that, Peter. You're going to go before the cock crows. You're going to deny me three times. Now, to catch that movement, which is what we want, I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to disown you. I'm not going to say no. I'm going to do everything I'm supposed to do. Now, chapter 14, picking up, please, in verse 66. Chapter 14, and in verse 66. And we're looking now at those denials. I'm just going to go through it. Remember, you read the Gospel of Matthew, and we're going to look at Luke just for a little. But then there's John chapter 18 that has a different, says the same thing, but just different. So we're just trying to get a fullness of this. Chapter 14, verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, remember, without reading there in Matthew chapter and John chapter 18, John the Baptist knew the servant and knew the high priest. And so therefore, and John and Peter are following the group where they're taking the Lord to see Caiaphas, the high priest. And as they're doing that, going down the corridor into the thing, Peter is able to get right through, and Peter comes to the gate, and the girl is at the entrance to welcome you or to deal any questions you have. And the girl is there. So as they're coming in, and Peter is there. So here's the palace, as we shared last time, like a circular, half a circle. And here's Caiaphas, the high priest, is there. Annas could have lived in one of the apartments. And the courtyard out in front. Now, so when we come to in verse 66, there comes, and Peter was beneath the palace, and there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, he said, that's not true. But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." What are you saying? I'm one of them? I'm not one of them. I don't even understand what you're talking about. And verse 68. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid, verse 69, the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, remember he's standing by the fire elsewhere, keeping warm with the other sentries and the deputies and that outside the court, in the courtyard. Verse 69, and the maid saw him again and began to say to them what that stood by, "This is one of them." He's one of them, disciples. And he denied, I disown that whole subject. That's not true. And he denied it again. And a little further, a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean." And your language, your vocabulary, we know where you're from, the way you speak. You're a Galilean. You're not from Judah. "And thy speech agreeth thereto." And Peter, verse 71, and Peter began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man of whom you speak." And when you think of the word curse, think of somebody being quizzed, pushed under whatever. And I called down, "God judge me. God judge me if I didn't tell you the truth." God calling down judgment. He cursed and swore, "I'm telling you the truth." Ah, wow, that's pretty daring. "I don't know him." Isn't that pretty good? Well, I got to tell you. Now, and therefore, verse 72, and the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me three times." And when he thought thereon, he wept. He wept. Judas didn't weep. Judas regretted. Hang on. Now, to hit that a little extra, Luke gives us a little more, a touch, something else. Over to Luke and chapter 22. And in Luke and chapter 22, and to get the context so you stay with it, Luke 22, verse 60. 22:60. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. Verse 61. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. God. Now here's the Lord, and here's Peter. Peter's in there. John's in there. And here's our Lord turning, going to go to Pilate. And he turns, and here's Judas among the men, warming themselves by the fire in the courtyard, as they come walking by, and our Lord looked at him. He looked at him. That was enough. That was enough. And he wept. And he wept. Wow. Wow. over to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians and chapter 7. What do we need to remember? Now you know Esau regretted that he sold his birthright for a bunch of cream of wheat. I mean, that was a silly thing. But he did, and he wept bitterly. He never repented. Judas never repented. Peter, a little different. Peter wept bitterly. What was the difference? 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and in verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, purpose, that you might receive damage, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. In other words, you repented of the wrong you did, and you were sorry. What's the difference? Verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. You get saved, wonderfully saved, stay saved, which you must do. But not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And we can be sorry we did all these things years ago. You can be sorry for 1,000 things. And people say, I'm sorry. And they do. But being sorry doesn't fix the problem. It's good to say you're sorry, but it doesn't fix it. Esau said, I'm sorry. Judas said, I'm sorry. And they didn't change anything. They're just sorry. Sorry they did it. Sorry they did what they did. But Peter was sorry. And he wept bitterly. What was the difference? He had, verse 10, he was sorrow unto death. Remember we shared it. It's one thing to be sorry. It's another thing to be sorrowful unto death. I'm so sorry, I hate it. You didn't say, I hate it. You just said, I'm sorry. I hate what I did. I hate it. And then I'm going to start conquering whatever it was. I'm going to repent because I hate what I did, the way I did it. Judas didn't do that. Esau didn't do that. Peter did that. That's what he did. That's what sorrow, godly sorrow, worketh repentance. No, just sorrow won't do it. You got to be sorry unto God, looking to God, and see it from God's point of view. Well, how do you see it, Peter? Peter said, I see it's in me. It's just plain old me. Us, me being human. My problem is me, God. That's why God, one reason of 1,000, God put that in John 18 and here. Why? To understand. Judas, do you understand human nature? God is required. God is required. Humans will never fix anything. Humans cannot fix anything. They never will, and they cannot ever fix what has to be fixed. They can't do it. God said, if it isn't for my grace, you are goners. Hang on. Now, having said that, exercise the mess, what John, what Peter, what did you learn? What are we to learn? Hang on. Over. Before we talk about denial, I got to get the thing clear. So therefore, or if I can picking it up in thought, Romans Romans in chapter 7. Apostle Paul had to go through the exercise. It's a tough exercise, but you have to learn it. You have to learn to hate your dumb self in a good way so that you don't be trusting yourself so much. Don't have too much confidence. Peter had tons of confidence to step in front of 600, absolutely a futile move to go with a sword and cut off the servant ear. What a dumb thing. There's no way you can win in this, Peter. But he did it. And he has to learn. Now, so Romans chapter 7. Picking up, if I can, in verse 18. This is Paul exercising. How was come Paul was so wonderfully, wonderfully good and helpful in what he did, what he said? Because he was exercised like Peter. For I know, 18, 7, 18, Romans. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. It isn't that I like to, I want to do good, but I never seems to come out good. Verse 19. For the good that I would do, not that I do not, the good that I don't do, but the evil which I would not, that I do. I do the wrong stuff. I do it and it never comes out right. Human, you cannot in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 1:29. No flesh shall glory in my presence. Peter, I'm going to cut off. Never. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable. So Peter, what are you going to do? Paul, what did you do? I went through the, God sent me out in the desert there to learn what? How you got to get rid of your dumb self in the good way. So therefore, sliding down to verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh the law of sin. I understand. I got a problem with my old nature. Peter, Judas, you didn't understand it. Esau, you didn't understand it. Peter, you don't understand it, and neither do the rest of you. You don't understand. You're trying to have confidence in the flesh. You're trying to trust something in you for good, your sorrow, your care, your love. It doesn't work. And you've given yourself to it. Philippians. Paul, did you get it? I did. Paul said, I done got it. I got it clear in my head. Philippians in chapter 3. And Philippians in chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 3. 3:3, Philippians. Paul saying, for we, believers, are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Did you get it, Paul? Oh, wretched man that I am, I done get it. Peter, you're going to get it, but you're going to pay a price to learn it. You're going to deny me 3 times, and I'm going to look at you, and you're going to know. You're going to know, Peter, it isn't going to be out of your caring and loving and commitment. It isn't going to make, that's not going to make it happen. God's going to make it happen in a most wonderful way. You know, put it together now easy. John chapter 15, we did in the upper room, verse 5. You abide in me and I abide in you, etc. And then those big words, they stand out so big, but you try to shrink them down. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Peter, did you understand? I will. It cost me. It cost me. Paul, it cost you. That's right. What are we going to learn? It isn't about you. It's about my personality and my idiosyncrasies and everything else, you know. No. No, it isn't. It's about God. About God's grace. That's what it's about. And that's what you're going to have to learn. That's the terrible lesson you have to learn. That's why I'm going to the cross. If I don't go to the cross, it won't work. Do you understand? God, so I got, here's my little word, deny, which we're going to now take. God, I want to put this into the little, here's what we just said. No flesh shall glory in my presence. It's no confidence in the flesh. It's not about us humans. God crucified us on Calvary's cross. It's about Christ making possible a being rescued, delivered, freed from your old nature, which is lousy. You've got to get free of it. That you're still living in it. You have to understand there's a difference between your relationship to God and your relationship to your old nature. Your old nature is going to fight all the way down the line. And God is going to have to tell you, that's why you have, without turning there in Galatians 5 and 17, the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. They're like this in your heart when you get saved. When you're unsaved, it's all peace. See? When you get saved, you've got a problem if you're really saved, because God's going to try to quicken your heart to wake up. And that's what he did for Peter. That's what he did for Paul. And that's what he does for us. So therefore, God, the cross, Luke chapter 9. And in Luke chapter 9, may I pick up, please, in verse 22, 9 and 22. Little context, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be slain, crucified, and be raised the third day. In other words, I have to go to the cross. Verse 23, he said unto them all, saved and unsaved, everyone listening, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Let him deny himself. It's a command. Deny. Disown. Disown. Say no to yourself. Myself says, my pride says, my words said, my mind say. Disown yourself in the sense when you're trying to go and go against what God is, who God is and what he says. Disown. Unless a man deny himself, that's your whole person, head to toe. Don't be counting on yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. That's what you got to do. Take up your cross and follow me daily. That's why Romans 6:11, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God. Do it. Do it. Don't count on yourself. You can't. Unless a man deny himself, he can't, in verse 23, he can't follow me. How are you going to go with God? I'm going to go with God like with Peter. I'm going to bring out my sword and I'm going to do it. You can't go with God by your flesh. I want God's life, will for my life. On planet Earth, that's a wonderful thing to have that. But you've got to go and understand it. That's God's outworking, like we shared in Sunday school with the Hebrews. Remember what we did with the watch and the sanctification. You can't do it. You can't do it. You're going to go. (Clears throat) I thought it should be three, because three times. And I waited for the third one so that I'd fit into the message, you understand? God, what are you doing? Unless I go to the cross, you have no way to get saved and no way to follow through and no way to get all of the wonderful things I have for your life. You have to go to the cross. You have to go to the cross. I have to go to the cross. Why am I going to the cross? I'm taking you to the cross. That's what I'm doing. I'm taking you to the cross. You have to die. The wages of sin is death. I have to take care of it. So I go and die. I'm dying for you. Do you understand? So it's terminated. No confidence in the flesh. I don't want you to do that. I want you to understand, I have to go to the cross. You have to go to the cross. And if you're going to enjoy all of the truth, chapter 13 of John through 17, if you're going to enjoy all of that wonderful truth, you can't have it apart from the cross. I have to go to the cross in a most wonderful way. Now, God, so I got to believe. Understand, 1 John. And in 1 John, if I may, picking up chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Our Lord giving us some more help. Now, chapter 2 may go to verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is he who is a liar but he that denieth, says no? That's what Peter did. There's your little word, verb. Peter denied the Lord three times. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? I don't know him. I don't know him. You better understand who he is. So therefore, in verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth, there's your word again, the Father and the Son. Verse 23, whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now, God, we can't disconnect from you. The Lord Jesus said, you can't. What did Peter say in his denial? I don't know you. What was the problem? You can't say that. You can't deny Christ is the only God and only Savior. You got to believe. That's what you got to do. You got to believe. Wow. So therefore, having said that and keeping that in mind, and while you're here, just turn right over to 2 Peter and chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Peter 2 and in verse 1. And you will note, but there were false prophets, 2 and 1 of 2 Peter. I hope I said that right. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers. What are they going to do among you? Who privily shall say, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying, there's your word, denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. They just don't, you can't do that. And that's what Peter did. That was his problem. He denied the Lord. If you deny the Lord, you can't be saved. God's the only Savior. You can't do that, Peter. And he didn't. He didn't. He repented. He fixed it. It took Pentecost. He repented. Godly repentance. Sorrow. Godly sorrow. For godly repentance. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, exercise again, if I can. If I can, 2 Timothy And we're going to go and try to sneak through without ever knowing God. We're going to be religious. We're going to be religious people. Religious people certainly are religious. So therefore, 2 Timothy chapter 3, the last days in which we're living, picking up, please, in verse 1. For know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Dangerous, terrible, difficult times, to say the least, are going to come. Making all of it, you know, for men should be lovers of their own selves, etc., etc., etc. Disobedient to parents and all of that. Sliding down to verse 5. Having a form, an outward form of godliness, look like they're religious people. The Pharisees were very, very godly. They were religious people. Lots of people are religious. Religious up to their eyeballs. You know, I say, boy, they committed. What's the difference of am I real or am I commitment to nothing? So therefore, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying, there's your little word, disown, to say no, denying the power, dynamo, the power, the ability thereof, from such turn away. People are going to be religious and say, well, they're religious. There's a difference. Peter was religious. He was a Jew. He was willing to sacrifice whatever for his Judaism. But didn't do any good. There's no confidence in the flesh. Go with me over to Titus, next door. Titus in chapter 1. I'm picking up, please, in verse 16, directly. They profess, Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works, they deny him. There's your little word. They disown him. I say I know God, but I have nothing to do with a life of God, the works of God, the grace of God. I don't have anything to do with that, like 1 John chapter 2. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate, rejected. Wow. They say, we know God, we're religious people. Hang on. Religious people don't get saved. Religious people need to get saved. Dedicated people need to get saved, you see. Committed people need to get saved. That's what they're going to do. Don't get saved. You're unsaved. I'm trying, but I did my best. I did everything. Not enough. No. So therefore, if I can, Luke. Luke chapter 12. And in Luke chapter 12, the subject of Matthew 10, the subject of Luke 12, chapter 12, verse 4. I say unto you, remember now the problem, and going to verse 4. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. In other words, the best they could do is kill you. So be of good cheer. That's all they can do. Well, isn't that enough? See, isn't that enough? No, it isn't the issue. You're exercising, if you're saved, you're exercising your relationship to God. That's what I'm doing, you're doing. I'm exercising my relationship to God. That relationship, right now I have it to the air, and to the breathing, and my heartbeat. And all of that can stop. But I don't stop. Because that's what you're talking about, my physical life. Lousy illustration. I'm going to cut off my arm. Aren't I still the same? My arm's there. Aren't I still the same? If I take my whole body, I'm still the same. That's true. The difference is, when I know the Lord is my Savior, I have a unique relationship to God that started the moment I received Him as my Savior. And that's mine. That can never stop. The Lord said, what are you worried about? Well, I'm going to lose my arm. But you don't need your arm with me. You see? You don't need your arm. You don't need, think of, you can't do Matthew 10 for time's sake. Matthew 10, don't be afraid of them. They can kill the body. They can't kill the soul. So let them. That's why God's going to let in the tribulation. Let people get killed. Believers going to get killed. Not a problem. Oh, but it is a problem. No, it isn't a problem. You don't understand. You need to understand. That's the, we haven't made the connection that God has done something wonderful for us the moment we believed. Now, so here, Luke. Therefore, in Luke chapter 12, picking up, please, in verse 9. I'll read verse 8. But I say unto you, verse 8, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man confess before the angels of God. That's awesome. That's the word, confess. But he that denieth, says no, 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 I disown it. No, it's not going to be for me. He that denieth me before men shall be denied, same word, denied before the angels of God. I'm going to deny you before them. You deny me before men, I'll deny you before angels. That's what I'm going to do. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the subject of the chapters 10 and 12 is death. We're talking about that. Now, in order to help you with that a little bit quickly, over to Revelation and chapter 14. He that denieth me before men shall be denied before my angels. What do we know is coming up in the tribulation? The sign, the mark of the beast, and all of these things. And they're all busy doing that, you know. That isn't something that's going to be, it's something that is. They're all playing with it. Different ways to mark the body, to mark the cell. It's just common sense from a human standpoint. You can't, people can't, they don't carry money. They forget things, they don't keep records, or whatever they do. So that you have a little system where the government has everything about you, your paycheck, and your everything you do has the whole thing about you. And all you do is just go by your little numbers. And the numbers calculate whether you are still alive and do everything. They do that. It's all done for you. Mm-hmm. Good. The mark of the beast, that's already in the works. Just test. It isn't different places do it. Some cities do it. Some people, businesses are doing. Some credit cards do it. You know, get the credit card punched into your hand. Print. All you do is your credit card. So you, when you wash your hands, just don't wash them too much because you wash out the credit card. So just be careful. Now, so Revelation chapter 14. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, the terrible, terrible religious political system in the tribulation. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his images and receive the his mark in his forehead and in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels. I told you, if you deny me before men, when all of that happens, if you're going to stick to your gun, once you take the mark of the beast, you're all done. You denied me, I deny you. I don't know you. I don't know you. Now, having said that a little bit, and keeping that in mind, if I can, over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, to help us some more. Second Timothy, if I can, chapter 2. 2 Timothy, chapter 2. And you will note a very wonderful way, a chorus, a little poem, a little way to say something in a little package. Verse 11 through 13. If it is a faithful saying, for if, by the way, there's four ifs, four ifs. First class, it is true. First class condition, assume it is true. Second class, it isn't true. Third class, it may be true, etc. Anyway, first class, assume it to be true. All four. Verse 11, if it is a faithful saying, for if and it is true, we are dead with him. When Christ died on the cross, we died. That's correct. And we shall also live with him. Also, Romans 6, without turning there for time's sake, 3, 4, 6, 3, 4, 5, we died with him, we live with him, and we walk in newness of life. Verse 12, if, and it's true, we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we do so, if we suffer, assuming we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, like Peter denied, if we deny him, he also will deny us. In other words, if we say no, we aren't going to do it, then he will deny us. So in the process, if we suffer, we endure, God will do. But if we don't, we'd miss out. And look, and hold your, well, we don't have hardly time. Hold your finger here quickly and tell Romans to come up fast. Romans chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. And you'll catch it quickly. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Wonderful, wonderful position. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. 4:18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed inside of us. So back over to chapter, it's a wonderful relationship. But how can you walk with God if they hate you? No, John 7:15. If they hate you, if they hate me, 18. If they hate me, they hate you. How are you going to walk with me? And everyone, I agree with everybody, or I shut my mouth all the time. I never bother anybody. No one even knows I exist, see? I do that. I don't agree with that. I say, you got to be like me. No, I don't. This is how we think. I don't care how you think. I'm just telling you, that's not true. I disagree. So I'm not in harmony with the system. I don't want to be in harmony with the system. I live in it. I'll try to deal with it as best I can in a good common sense way. But I'm not in the system. And I'm going to feel it. I feel it. I've been called everything. I was called, the false prophet. I thought that was a pretty, Revelation 13, I thought that was a pretty prodigious, awesome position, I should say, that I could be the false prophet. I got to tell you, that's pretty powerful. He's the one that says you can't buy or sell, you understand? So, man, that's a pretty potent position. So everyone better pay attention, you see. No. Timothy, if we deny him, if we don't, he will deny us. What do you mean? without doing all of those awesome things, you know. You're going to have, I want you to build on the foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation. And I want you to build wood, hay, gold, silver, and precious stones. I want you to know I have Ephesians 2:10. I have a wonderful plan for your life. I'd like the plan to work out. Well, no, I deny the plan. I disown. No, I'm not willing. I'm not willing for that plan. I have my life, my dreams, my aspirations. And I'm going to go down and do it. As a believer, then I'll deny you. Your position. You had a wonderful position. I would. You can rule and reign with me. But I don't want to do that. Then you won't. You'll be saved. 1 Corinthians 3:15. You'll be saved as what? As by fire. But you'll be saved. But you won't have the position. If you think I'm going to put everybody in the same place because they flunkies, the people like Paul and Peter and them, they're dedicated, and all the dear people that have been over the centuries. If you think I'm going to put them in the same place, the people that don't care 2 cents, they're just going to be believers and go to heaven. You think they're going to get the same thing that they do? No, they aren't. They aren't. Therefore, that's what you're saying. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That's what he's going to do. You can't have that position. Verse 13. If we believe not, if we're not believing, the word "not believing" in the Greek, in the English translation, is the word faithless, to be without faith, to be without belief, not believing, having no. The word, faithless, no confidence in the flesh that they might believe. And so as you take it without, can't even do it. In the process, the word faith, if we believe not, if we're faithless, if we don't hang in there and do the right thing and be believing, that's what it's talking about. If you're not going to believe, then you're going to lose out. But, the end of verse 13, yet he, God, in Christ, abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. If you're going to have confidence in your flesh, the first part of verse 13, if we believe not, we're going to be faithless, we're going to be confident in the flesh. Then you're not going to have any, you're not going to make it to have all the benefits. You're missing out on God's wonderful plan for your life. What you need to do, Jesus Christ, you have to disown yourself, deny yourself. Why are you going to deny? Because self can't save, self can't support, self can't do anything. I'm going to have to look to God to be the Savior and supporter of my life. And that's what I have to do. And that's what Luke 9:23, except a man deny himself, he cannot follow me. Then God said, you've got to do that. And if you're going to do that, if we believe not, faithless, we're going to go and have confidence. But God, on opposite, God, the end of verse 13, he cannot deny himself. Jesus Christ is who he is. He does not disown, discredit, take away. I'm going to be who I am. I am God. I can be nothing else than God. I will not deny who I am. You deny who you are. You're saved, and you're living as if you weren't saved. And when you do that, you lose out. You have confidence in your flesh, and you're going to lose. You're going to lose. But no, I won't. Well, we'll see. You got it? Wonderful. Peter, thank you. Peter, it's an awesome thing you had to go through. Paul and the rest of you, and so do we. And God, thank you. Thank you. And when you think you're perfect, when you think you're perfect, when you think you are perfect, you know, everything's perfect. And then you bend down and the stuff falls out of your pocket and you can't find it. Okay? You're perfect, right? You're perfect. And you're going to go and reach for the water at the table and you weren't paying attention and you spill the glass. Remember, you're perfect? What are you learning? You aren't perfect. You aren't perfect, you know? You aren't perfect. Well, I'm perfect. That's how come I turned the wrong way, you see? How come I did that? You're not perfect. All of the lessons are done daily for us. And things fall, you know, you all have that. Have you ever gone down the, I've said that before, I have my pajamas on or something, you know, a shirt on, and I'm going down the stairs, I touch the railing, don't hold the railing so I don't zip down the stairs. I hold the railing, and my sleeve goes right in the railing, you see. Did you ever have that happen? You know, the railing, it didn't mean to happen. It's, how could that happen? You see, it's just us. We aren't perfect. God is, and we trust him.